Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. How does the book of 1 Corinthians open? What's the theme with which the book opens? Yes, it was about the divisions that were going on in the church at Corinth. And as we come to chapter 9, we see again evidences of the division and down to a particular. And that has to do with the apostleship of Paul. In nearly every epistle of Paul, he defends his apostleship. Usually at the beginning of the book, but in this particular book, now in chapter 9, and continuing from chapter 8, Paul is answering some questions that the Corinthians have put to him in a letter, and apparently the question of his apostleship has come up. And so chapter 9 opens with the words, "Am I not an apostle?" Question mark. What's the design of such a question? Am I not free? Question mark. Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Question mark. Are not ye my work in the Lord? Question mark. Do you think these questions are designed to elicit a certain response? Yes, that's right. They are. Let's take each of these questions. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Well, why do you suppose that the question of Paul's apostolic position comes up here? Yes, there were challenges to the genuineness of Paul's apostolic call, and therefore his apostolic authority. Who do you suppose within the church at Corinth were spearheading this charge? Paul is not an apostle. Not their names, but a sort of a faction. Yes. Could we narrow it even further? Who do you suppose, what sort of a group within the church at Corinth do you suppose would be most likely to raise such a charge? Paul is not an apostle. And we've got the goods on him. He's going to answer their charges as we move on. But it might be well to have fixed in our minds who would be likely to make such a charge. Now, in the church at Corinth, there were several different groups following several different leaders. But we maybe could separate them roughly into two categories. Yes, those who had been Jews but are now saved, and those that had been Gentiles who are now saved. And of course, the scripture speaks of that threefold division of humanity into the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. why do you suppose that the Jews might have been first to raise such a charge? This is an interesting thing to think about. Yes, that will be one of the charges that was apparently brought forth in this letter, because he answers it. Yes, he did see the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, that's one of the questions that he asks in the first verse. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And of course, these questions are designed to elicit a yes response. Yes, I am an apostle. Yes, I am free. Yes, I have seen Jesus Christ our Lord. And yes, you are my work in the Lord. Now, why would a Jew, or a Jew that has been born again, lay such a charge? Do you suppose that they would have doubted the apostleship of, let's say, James? If James came to Corinth, do you suppose that the Jewish faction within the church would have questioned his apostolic authority? Trying to give you some insight here. When you think about church history, you need to think about Paul and people's attitudes toward Paul. Why do you suppose that the church was so quick to follow Arminius and throw Paul over the side? What about Calvin? If we think about this, we ought to see a pattern emerging here. And this is very early on. The apostles are still alive. James is probably still alive at this point. Peter certainly is. Now, if Peter came to the church at Corinth, do you suppose they'd question his apostolic authority? There are only two possible answers. It's 50-50. Well, Paul's going to answer that charge. I'm trying to get you to think. Why would the Jews have had an axe to grind with Paul? And they did. Didn't they follow him and persecute him pillar to post every place that he went? Wasn't it Paul's custom to go into the synagogue first when he went into a city and preach the gospel to the Jew first? And then also to the Gentiles? Why was it that the Jews persecuted Paul? Why did they have an axe to grind with him? Wasn't he a Jew? There you go. The code has now been broken. Paul is the one that is going about preaching Christian liberty. The Jews don't like to hear that Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes. We just had a question out of the book of James in our last questions and answers, didn't we? And it had to do with applying things out of the law to Christianity. Would the Jews have had a problem with James? Do you think that Paul had a problem with James? Do you think that Paul would have had a problem with Peter? Come on now, you should know this from the scriptures. Okay. Yes, what was it about? Do you remember what the issue was when Paul withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed? Paul wasn't run from a quarrel. Not if a principal was involved. What was the issue? No, Peter was actually the first to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Remember the keys that Peter used? Peter was the first. No, not talk. Didn't what? Eat! That's it. As soon as the Jews showed up, Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles and didn't eat with them anymore, but went over and sat down and ate with the Jews. Why did he do that? Let's eliminate two words from our discussion, cowardly and pandering. But why did he do that? It goes back to what somebody brought up a minute ago. Why didn't the Jews eat with the Gentiles? That's it. But who told them they couldn't eat with the Gentiles? The three-letter word, yeah, that starts with L and ends with W. The law. It was a matter of the law. The Jews were to remain separate from the Gentiles. So Peter fell back into what? The law. And when Paul saw that he did that, Paul immediately has a problem with that. Come on, Peter. Are you still a Jew under the old covenant? Or are you a Christian under the New Testament? You better make up your mind, Peter. Who do you suppose Paul sat down with? The Gentiles, but I'll bet both. Paul didn't make that distinction, and he withstood Peter for making that distinction. So who do you suppose at Corinth would have a problem with Paul? Those that wanted to demote Pluto from being a planet. Well, sure. Which group there do you think that would have been likely to have been championed by? The law. The Jews. Those who had been Jews before they became Christians. Because Paul never makes the charge that the Corinthians are lost. He's not calling them tares. But they're on pretty thin ice, aren't they? This goes back to the book of Galatians, doesn't it? Do you suppose that the Jewish believers would have had a problem with the book of Galatians? Oh, I'm sure that James made up pamphlets of the book of Galatians and passed them out in Jerusalem. It's something to think about, isn't it? Do you think that still goes on? Of course it does. Churches are so heavily Galatianized today. Do you suppose that churches that are Galatianized print up pamphlets of the book of Galatians and pass those out? No, they wish that book wasn't in the Bible. So, questions have arisen at Corinth. Am I not an apostle? Well, Paul is going to defend his apostleship in just a moment, but let's get to the main question here. Paul is willing to answer this question not on the esoteric grounds of whether or not he's an apostle, but what would be good for the Corinthians. And he addresses that in verse number 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. And so what Paul is doing here is, for a moment, he's going to bypass the particulars of the argument and come right down to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. I'm an apostle to you because the Lord used me in the preaching that I did at Corinth to convert you to Christ, and you know you're Christians, don't you? As they say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Well, there it is. So he's got the great thing settled right here. But now he is going to go on and deal with these issues. But the main thing, so far as the Corinthians were concerned, is Paul really an apostle or not? And what he's saying is, you know, it really doesn't make any difference if I'm an apostle or not. But to you, I'm an apostle. This question is important to you. How can you know I'm an apostle? Well, because you're saved. Now he's got the main thing out of the way. One small difficulty here. Do you see in verse number 3, the comma at the end of the verse? That's supposed to be a period. No, it's not a misprint. It's a translation problem. They got the punctuation wrong. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, period. Well, what is it then? What is the this? Yeah, what he just said. What he just said. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord, and that's my answer to this question, period. Otherwise it doesn't make sense, because he then begins in verse number 4 to explain what he kind of left hanging in verses 1 and 2. In other words, he's saying those questions are important, but what's really important to you Corinthians is that I'm an apostle to you because you're saved and you're in Christ Jesus and you know it. That's what's really important. Now let's go on and deal with the minors, the smaller issues. Verse 4. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same thing? Well then, in verse number 5, there's a very important word there to those in the Jewish faction that had raised the question of Paul's apostleship. And what is that word? It's a very proper noun. I posed the question several times a few minutes ago. If James showed up, would they have questioned him? since Paul brought it up and we're studying this passage of Scripture, let me read it again. Have we not power to lead about a sister? Who's he talking about? Who's the we in verse 5? Who? No. I'll give you a hint. The we in verse 5 is spelled out in verse 6. Barnabas and Paul himself. Okay, that's who he's talking about. Have Barnabas and I not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Is that some kind of a legal term for a crime? It's Peter! Do you suppose the people that brought this objection up to the apostleship of Paul would have questioned Peter? Do you suppose maybe that's why he threw it in here? He's building an argument. You wouldn't ask Peter this question. Do you suppose if the brethren of the Lord had showed up at Corinth, they'd have questioned them? Did Peter win the Corinthians to Christ? Did the brethren of the Lord lead the Corinthians to Christ? Can you see the argument that he's building here? Pretty soon the people that brought this argument up are going to look pretty foolish, aren't they? They're going to be exposed for the hypocrites that they are. You're supporting Peter and the brethren of the Lord, and other apostles who have never even been here and never even preached the gospel to you, and you're calling me into question? Can you see the argument here? A little nod of recognition would help. Verse number 6, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? What do you suppose he means by that? Have we not power to forbear working? Does he mean stop preaching Christ? Or does he mean something else? Okay. How did Paul support himself ordinarily as far as his food and his clothing? And he was a tent maker. How did the other apostles support themselves? What? Yeah, but fishers of men. I don't think they ever went back to fishing after the day of Pentecost. How were Peter and James and John and the other apostles supported in their ministries? Of course they were. They were supported by offerings from Christians. So can you see the question here? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? In other words, aren't we actually due your support? We're not taking it. But that doesn't mean you don't owe it to us. That's what he's saying here. Now, verse number 7, he gets further along in his argument. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? What does this mean? Who goes forth to war and pays for it out of his own pocket? Okay, what is that group of people that sends people to war usually called? A government, a nation. No nation expects soldiers to go out and fight a war on behalf of the country at their own expense. By the way, has that ever happened? Yeah, David usually had friends. But yes, he did sometimes. Why are you sitting here with all the freedom that you have? This is something to think about. Why didn't those guys at Valley Forge have boots to wear? The founding fathers of this nation did go forth to war at their own expense. They sure did. But that's not the normal way it works. But that's the way it worked with Paul. Paul went forth to war at his own expense. He made tents. He didn't take anything from the Corinthians. Verse 7, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Or who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? What does that mean? Well, sure, the workman is worthy of his reward. Paul's going to make that argument. Nobody goes out and cultivates a plot of land and plants fruit trees, waits until they bear fruit, and then just walks away and lets the fruit rot on the trees. Verse number 8, say I these things as a man. Now he's used, you know, human reasoning here. Everybody's smart enough to figure out if you put work into a garden, you expect to eat the produce. Everybody's smart enough to know that if you keep chickens, you're going to eat the eggs. Well, is there a further argument? Verse number 8, say I these things are a man, or saith not the... Oh my. Oh my. Do you suppose the Jewish converts at Corinth would have known what the law said? I got one yes. I'm going to need two no's now. Think, would the Gentile Corinthians have known what the law said? Did I say Jews? Maybe I did. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's say the Gentiles, used to be's, who are now Christians, would they know what the law said? So, the fact that Paul is making an appeal to the law here tells you he's talking to who? Uh-huh. They would know what the law said, wouldn't they? They grew up with it. Verse number 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? See the argument that Paul makes, and he's making it right at the Jews who knew this. It was part of the Jewish law. And as Billy Mays would say at this point, but wait! But wait! We're going to double this offer. Verse number 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, I wonder who the others are that they're not complaining about. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather, you know, the ones that won you to the Lord, the ones who represent the seal of our apostleship, you know, you guys? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, I'm not going to throw a stumbling block in front of you and make a big issue out of this, but now that you've made it an issue, I'm going to answer it. Can you see what he's saying? Because they tried to turn it around on Paul. You know how gainsayers do? And say, well, he didn't ask for support because he knows he's not an apostle. We'd laugh him right out of the church house if he asked for support. Paul is saying, no, wait a minute. You got it all wrong. Here's how it really is. Verse number 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? What's he talking about in verse number 13? Who are partakers of the altar? The who? The Levites. Do you suppose the Jews would have known that? Of course they would. The Gentiles are probably sitting there scratching his head. What in the world is he talking about? We just want a quickie divorce and it's too far to get to Mexico. Verse number 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In other words, we got it coming. Why didn't I take it? Well, verse number 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things so that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. I wouldn't give you the satisfaction of letting you support me. You keep your money. That's what he's saying. What kind of giver does God love? Do you suppose the Jewish portion of the church at Corinth would have given to Paul cheerfully? There's only two possible answers. I don't think so. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this discussion, would we? You Jews, Paul is saying, are the biggest hypocrites in all the world. He just turned the tables on them and showed them, for the gainsaying hypocrites, that they were. Verse number 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In other words, if I didn't want to do it, I still have to do it because there's a reward for doing it, and I'm going to do it, and you can keep your money. Verse number 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So why is he saying I'm doing it for free? Mm-hmm. Yes, God did take care of him. But shame on the Corinthians. shame, shame on them. What is the great principle in the scripture that we just read that we saw somewhere else in 1 Corinthians? Nope, he's saying that I'm not going to lay something in front of you that you'd trip over. Didn't we read about stumbling blocks in 1 Corinthians? We sure did. Well, here it is, Paul working it out in his life. I'd rather make tents than put a stumbling block in front of people. I'll do whatever it takes to get the gospel wherever it needs to go. Do you suppose there might be some today that would find a reproof in these words? Leave Benny Hinn out of this. It's Rick Warren's turn tonight. What do you suppose people say when they hear those money-grubbing televangelists? What do they say to one another? Yeah, maybe Frank Zappa's way was best. We're only in it for the money. At least he told you that. They're a bunch of money grubbers. And that defames the gospel. And Paul is saying, I'll not be part of that. If I have to make tents for the rest of my earthly life, I'm not going to be part of that. But that doesn't mean that you Corinthians don't owe it to me. Can you see the point here? Since you want to be a bunch of religious, law-abiding hypocrites, keep your money. But that doesn't take away the seal of my apostleship, does it? Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you tonight that we have your word. And Lord, it's just as up to date as today's newspaper. Lord, the things that were going on at Corinth are going on in churchianity today. And Lord, if we just understand all of these principles, Lord, we'd recognize it so quickly when we see it today. And Lord, know that Satan has been very busy. And as Paul never makes the charge that the pews are filled with tares at Corinth, Lord, we know the seeds of the tares are being planted there. And Lord, we'd ought to be able to take the lesson to beware of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.